Hello, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. You rate and review my podcast if you like me. And you can follow me on Instagram. It's YesKingOliver. Tatty bye.
So when I was at school with you, right, you were 3 years below me. And I never had any friends in my year. And I don't think you had many in your year, because that we were different. We were different thinkers. We were people who thought differently, weren't following groups. We knew there was more to life than just going to school, going and get a job, getting a flat, having a kids, having whatever, and then you die, like when you're 50 of cancer, right? Mm. So we bonded I didn't even know how we met. I think it was just down the pub or whatever. And then we went through a phase of always going clubbing together, always going to the pub and doing shit, and I used to always pick you up. And then all of a sudden, I had my awakening at 21, and I removed everyone from my life. And maybe a part of that was because you stopped responding, but so did everyone. And so it was like, right, you're not gonna make an effort, then fuck you all. So I removed everyone one by one, and you fucked off to university, and then we just lost contact. And then I was meeting somebody where I live, and then there was no trains or something. So I had to get another train, which was like 2 hours. So I had to go through Reading where I live, and then the train was still gonna be like an hour. So I wandered around the high street to try and find some food. And then I went into a Nando's, which is a chicken shop in where I live in Reading. And then you were in that chicken shop, but I was gonna go to the other chicken shop, but I was guided to the other chicken shop, and that's where you were. And then all of a sudden, I caught it like going down the motorway, and then I veered off left, east, and then you veered off north, south, east, west, and then we merged back north. You do your bit, and I do my bit, and then we like come back on the same road, and like, so where have you been? Oh, well, speaking to ghosts, reincarnation, speaking to, you know, finding myself, tuning into astrology, in nature, went traveling, did some drugs, and I'm back where I am. And it's like, wow. And I just forgot you even existed. And then you just come back in my life just out of nowhere. Who knows, you might not stick around for a bit, but it's just interesting how you forget all these people trying to find this like one major thing that you really want, which is people like you. And you realize you kind of had that, but you didn't realize because you were looking for something else, like more, so you lose what you already had.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the spiritual journey. You have to like isolate yourself for a bit. And yeah, I went through that as well, but later on in my life. And it's funny how when we reconnected, I asked you if back then when we were first connecting, if you were going through a spiritual awakening, because I was a bit of an alcoholic back then and I was always fucked up, but you would say stuff to me and I can't even remember what you were saying to me. But I knew when we reconnected, I was like, he was spiritual back then. And I don't know how I knew. I just, maybe subconsciously, I remembered.
Because when I was going through all that stuff, I was telling every single person I've met, the postman, the milkman, everyone. Have you heard of the law of attraction, the secret power of the mind? Your thoughts are powerful. Darren Brown, you can make people think about shit. And yeah, you were always on drugs, alcohol, whatever. And I remember I was going through it and trying to teach you this shit. And maybe you were listening, maybe you weren't. Maybe I realised, okay, no one around me understands this shit. I'm going to have to just get rid of them all, right? Mm. But you're saying that you knew then, looking back, that made sense. I was saying this when I was 20. And then when you have your awakening, what, 3-4 years ago, whatever, and you're 25 now?
Yeah.
That it suddenly makes sense. And like, oh my God, that's what he meant by the law of attraction, by, you know, thinking of stuff and it becoming a reality, manifestation. And yeah.
I mean, I was so drunk back then, I would just get so fucked up that I don't remember anything you said to me back then. But I remember the way you would talk. I don't know, it was just, you would talk about, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but...
What do you actually remember? Because you're only the only person who knew me back then, who was kind of on that frequency, who I see now.
Mm. Well, I wasn't on that frequency back then, but... But okay, so for me personally, when I was going through the spiritual awakening, I would ramble to people in a way that wouldn't make sense to the other person I was speaking to. And I think that's probably what was happening back then between us, partly because I was drunk out of my mind, partly because I wasn't on that frequency. But yeah, I mean, and I've seen other people go through it. People think they're going crazy. And just because you just, people always, there's a quote, I forgot who it's by, but people who don't understand you will call you crazy. And that's just how it is. Because what most people are narcissistic and they think their level of understanding and consciousness is the highest until you actually become enlightened and realize you know nothing and there's so much to learn.
What things were you going through that made you realize you're going through an awakening? Like, were you seeing ghosts and spirits and speaking to people that weren't there? And your mum was like, Amanda, who the fuck are you speaking to? I'm speaking to the spirits. Like, can you not see them, mum? They're like, you're crazy. Like, what was your signs? What should I say, symptoms of going through an awakening? It's crazy, motherfucker.
Okay, so I would say I had a mini awakening a couple years before, and then I was still engaged in alcohol and stuff, so it didn't really sink in. I mean, it did, but then I just kind of went off it again. But I wouldn't say that was a real spiritual awakening. It was like a mental awakening to spiritual stuff. But then I had the real spiritual awakening a couple years later in 2018. And at that point, I just had a really strong, it wasn't desire, it was repulsion against alcohol and putting anything that wasn't good for my body inside of me. I went all natural in every
avenue. So you don't drink alcohol anymore?
No.
Smoking?
I haven't smoked weed. It will be 1 year in May.
Any drugs?
No. Oh, I did shrooms in a couple months.
That's not a fucking drug.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's Jesus' best friend. And how about just normal cigarettes?
No, I haven't. No, that's been gone since 2018.
So that's the thing. Like, you weren't a fucking addict, but when you were younger, we were drinking and going to the pub and drinking. So that's normal.
Yeah.
But the fact that you've changed completely is interesting, because most people don't change. I never drunk. I don't think you can ever remember me. Because I used to always drive you.
Yeah, you were
so
never
I never used to drink. And I was the one who was always like, you shouldn't smoke, you're going to get cancer. And everyone's like, fuck off, I don't care.
See, I don't remember that. I was so fucked up because...
I'm like, Amanda, you shouldn't be sniffing coke. You're going to fuck up your nose when you're 18. You'll regret you. You'll hear me saying this and you wish you'd listened.
I was never big on coke.
No, just MCAT.
No, MDMA. Oh, yeah. That was my little thing back in the day. But, I mean, I was never an alcoholic to the point where I had to drink every day. But when I did drink, I would just... go overboard.
You're always drunk when you're with me.
I'd be fine 1 minute, next minute I'm waking up in my bed like, what happened? It's just insane. And that's another thing with spiritual awakenings, is that when I woke up, I guess, I realised that when you drink alcohol, you're opening a vortex to allow spirits, they're called spirits for a reason, to enter your body and take over.
Is that actually why drinks alcohol is called spirits?
I think so, yeah.
Or is that like just a link?
I mean, it's not a fact. How can you prove
it?
It
makes sense, though.
But yeah.
Because it's a spirit. So what is a spirit? It's something that is like an energy that takes over your body. Alcohol takes over your mind and your body. So it would make sense.
Yeah. And then gin. You drink gin. And Muslims believe in jinns, which are like beings you can't see.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Jinns.
Yeah, I mean, it's spelt different, but...
How about whiskies?
Yeah, those are Tibetan spirits.
You haven't heard
that? No, that's made up.
How about rum?
Oh, yeah, pirate spirits take over you.
Like devil, pirates, like bad energies, bad entities.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you remember, I'm a really happy drunk, so
yes.
I guess... I mean, I've always been quite a chilled, happy person. I mean, obviously, I've experienced the full spectrum of emotions, but I think because I'm quite I'm not spiteful by nature unless, you know, something's done to me, and then I've got control of that now, but my point is that I think because I've always been on that kind of frequency, when I open myself up to spirits, I open myself up to happy spirits, if that makes sense.
Like champagne, prosecco. Happy spirits,
cheers,
ching ching.
That's exactly what I meant, yeah.
So people who have awakening, would you say they often turn to drugs and alcohol before because they're trying to escape something, which is basically trying to find something, and that this is just a way of blocking out these stupid thoughts that everyone else isn't thinking until you get older. These people and friends, they disappear out your life, and then you get back to that person who you were without the alcohol and the drugs because there's no people around to deal with, and then you really find who you are. So a lot of drunks are actually very intelligent people.
Yeah.
And drug addicts, but they never had enough time for themselves to really find their path that the substance took over.
I mean, I never thought of it like that. Sure, that could definitely be it. I mean, for me, it was more, I feel uncomfortable for some reason. I don't know what that is. So I'm just going to numb it, smoke a joint.
Like, is it anxious nervousness, feeling sick, like before you go on stage or before driving tests? That sickening
but
nervous
I
feeling.
I didn't smoke a joint before
No.
Test.
That feeling you describe.
Oh, right.
That nervousness, that feeling sick, that...
No, it's...
To numb it.
It's not anything that strong. It's really subtle, like to the point where I didn't know that's what I was doing, only looking back. Or maybe it was just boredom or just, like, I don't know. But I was definitely... I don't know. It was basically, I got so addicted to weed up until between the ages of, I started at 15, but then I got addicted at 18 up until I was 24. So my point is, I forgot my point. But oh yeah, I forgot.
People say like weed isn't addictive, right? But what they mean by it's addictive is that their body has got so used to that feeling.
Yes.
Right, that feeling could be eating Chinese and MSG. I was addicted to Chinese because of the MSG.
Whoa.
So it's not the Chinese that's I'm addicted to. Like, it's not the weed you're addicted to. It's the feeling that the weed gives you. It's the feeling the Chinese gives you, right?
Yeah.
And it's just your body gets used to something that it wasn't born with. So it adapts. Like, if you give...
So my mum's going to be calling about why is the helmet on the table.
Oh, good lord.
Oh, no, it's a Leeds number. Let's just ignore that.
Yeah, so it's not the weed, right? It's like alcoholics. They're not addicted to the alcohol. They are addicted to numbing that feeling that they are not comfortable with without the alcohol. So every time they get nervous about their wife makes them a lovely meal and he's cheated on her, he gets his nervousness, so he has to drink alcohol. And every time he drinks alcohol, that feeling isn't there anymore. So he wakes up, the alcohol's out of his system, he gets that feeling again, his wife wakes up next to him, he needs the alcohol. He's not addicted to alcohol, he's addicted to having that feeling numb. People aren't addicted to anything, they're addicted to the compulsions of giving into a thought.
Yeah.
They give into their thought, and every time they see, no, I can't have it, their brain wants more and more and more of it.
Yeah.
And if you understand addiction, it's just applying action to your thoughts to get that reward, and then going back to your brain saying thank you, and then you want it again, and it gets more and more and more and more.
Mm.
If you hack that system, you can control any addiction.
Yeah.
Because the strongest minded people have gone through addictions, and they can choose to come off on it.
Mm.
So how come other people can't? And the answer is weak-minded people versus strong-minded people. What's the difference? One has control over their mind, the other doesn't.
Mm.
And it's just understanding what the control is, and it's just finding an alternative thing. Like when you want to smoke to have something in your hands, you play Xbox to get your hands active, and then before you know it, an hour later has gone past playing the Xbox that you've not had a fag for an hour.
I just want to add in something that if anyone's listening to this and thinks, oh my God, I'm addicted to this, I'm weak-minded. I mean, yeah... No, that's not what he's saying. Maybe it is, but everyone's gone, well, we've gone through it, so we're not saying we were weak. I think that there will come a time where you will feel the benefits out, like to not doing that thing outweigh the negatives. So there will come a point in time where you will just think, no, enough's enough, and then you can be a strong-minded person, I guess. But yeah, don't feel sad if you just heard what Ollie said.
So what I mean by that is that we're all different vibrations, right?
Yeah.
Weak people need lots of people around them, lots of friends. They have big, big families, right? Uncles and aunties, they fuck all day, and then they have kids, and their brothers, they fuck all day and they have kids. And then often there's nothing to do in their life, so they're indoors all day, so they drink, they fuck, they smoke, benefits, council money, whatever, yeah? So that cycle just gets more and more and more. The natural thing to do is to fuck when you're bored, right? And so now you've got loads of people all having an input and influence over that one person's life. The strong-minded person, for example, is independent. They don't need people to tell them what to do. They just go and do it. So now all these weak-minded people, weak energies, meaning, imagine you've got a pie chart. You've got 8 different pies to make up one pie chart, right?
Mm.
Whereas a strong-minded person, he just has like one whole pie to himself. Each person who's weak-minded needs all these pies to complete them. As a strong-minded person, he's just simply a pie. And so now you need all those energies to control your mind, basically. So it's harder to say no to 8 different people, whereas if you're just one person, an independent thinker, you only got to say no to yourself. That's what I mean by weak-minded people, weaker energies based on when you were born and planets, astrocartography, astrology.
Yep.
Not me being a cunt. Weak people, it's energy. Mm. People are weak energies based on when they were born. Nothing to do with me, just an observation.
No, I absolutely don't think that, because you're an Aquarius, I'm a Leo, two very strong signs, if I do say so ourselves. But I don't think any star sign is inherently weak. I think that it, because you get high vibrational Aquariuses and low vibrational Aquariuses. That's a bad, do you know what, I don't think I've ever met a low vibrational Aquarius. I'm sure I have, but I've never seen
neither
that.
Neither have I,
them. Okay, let's use Cancers because they're a great example. High vibing Cancers are amazing. Low vibing Cancers are fucking devils. Oh my God. So,
but I'm adding into this the rising and the moon and the sun and the moon.
Yeah.
Just like the star sign, the horoscope as it is, like I'm an Aquarius, January or whatever you are. I'm talking about the rising and the sun. So
yeah.
Rather than just being, say, Uranus floating past Earth when I was born, there's, say, Jupiter and Saturn, whatever planets I have, right?
Mm.
Each of those other planets give off a uniquer energy.
Yeah, true.
A stronger energy.
But, okay, so taking
and the people
into...
that are born are charged with that.
Yeah.
If their weak energy's up there, the person's going to be weak. If it's strong planet up there, the person's going to be strong in energy.
I mean, are you talking about if the planets were direct or what sign they're in or what?
I'm just saying people's brain activity is based on the vibration of their body, right? Mm. If you've got a low vibration, you can't think very quickly. You take ages to talk and work out stuff. Like me, I'm quick thinking. My brain's very active. I respond to thoughts quickly. Why? I've got high energy. Why? Because the planets that were up there when I was born were giving off like three times more energy.
Mm.
Unless you say that cycle is once every million years, and the other planets of the other star signs happen every 40,000 years. It means that my energy is going to be stronger and uniquer than the person's born with those other planets, because they happen every 40,000 years. So lots of humans will be this energy versus only very few of my energies, because it happens every millions of years. Make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm only saying this based on what I've been told about my human design. I know I'm different, but the human design and like the planets and the times have all confirmed it. I never understood why I was different. It was just potluck, my parents are different, but then there's science behind it. I cannot control where my parents are born, but because of when they were born, it affects when I'm born.
Mm.
It's coincidence how my whole life I felt like there's a force against me. And right now, this year is Aquarius year, whatever that means. So just imagine, my whole life has been, I've had a force against me my whole life. Because I shouldn't have been born then, I should have been born now, aka Aquarius season. So now I'm in Aquarius season, everything is going my way and falling into place. All the things I wanted to happen 7 years ago, it's happening now at 28. It wasn't Aquarius season then, now it is. It's interesting to know why I had this force against me when nothing went my way, no one liked me, couldn't do anything right. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely felt the age of Aquarius is like a really new energy, well, they say that the age of Aquarius is the age of awakening, and
for everyone,
for everyone, for the collective.
See, here's the thing, governments are losing control right now, right? And people are piping up and trying to gain control over themselves. So, if that is about, you know, people being aware that they can control their lives and not rely on other people or governments, whatever, then yeah, absolutely, it's the awakening. Is it a coincidence how so many human beings are fighting their governments to get more power? No. Is it because of the Aquarius thing? Who knows? It's not a coincidence how it's all happening at the same time, like the global pandemic. Everyone's relying on somebody else to live. It's like, fuck this vaccine, I'm gonna eat healthy, I'm gonna exercise, I'm gonna sleep well, I'm not gonna drink, I'm gonna diet, I'm gonna live life. And they're not relying on something else to make them feel good. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, this whole lockdown thing is ridiculous, and the fact that it's a wealth transfer, but it's actually had a adverse effect, because it's actually made a lot more people than ever want to start second streams of income and their own businesses and stuff. So, I mean, every time people try to dig a grave for someone, which is what they're effectively doing. They're trying to, they've passed a bill in New York. No, they haven't passed the bill, as far as I'm aware, but they are debating a bill to open camps for people with coronavirus, to put them in the camps. And have you seen the bill?
Do you mean like hospitals?
No, I mean like concentration camps. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know your source. Let's not speak conspiracies.
No, I'm not. I've got the New York Senate website. I can show you it to you. I'll give it to you to put on your podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then also there's the Georgia Guidestones. Have you seen them?
No.
So it basically lays out the New World Order plans, and they want 500,000 people to populate the planet, and that's it.
And who's this?
Well, the source is unknown, but it's on these...
So it's an unknown source?
Yeah.
So you don't know your sources?
Well, there are these stones in Georgia. No one knows who wrote the stones. Obviously, the powers that be, but...
So there's, like, stones with engraved, like, writing on or something?
Yeah. Most of the points seem really nice and good. But then the last one is, after a natural disaster occurs... keep the population at 500,000 and do what it takes to not let it get above that, basically.
Yeah, that's what I'd write right now. There's too many human beings on the planet. It's imbalancing everything. To have a balanced society, you have to wipe out a massive portion of humans, just like if there's too many trees in a forest taking up the nutrients of the other trees. They won't grow, so some dead ones have to go. That's just the cycle of life. If I wrote that right now, that in order for civilization to survive in, say, thousands of years' time, 8 billion humans have to go down to, say, 3. That's just science. I'm not a smart ass for saying that. That person isn't a smart ass. It's like Jesus saying, if you don't forgive people, you're going to have a grudge, and then you're going to have this, like, uncomfortable feeling in your body for the rest of your life. He was correct, but I could say the same thing. So it's like common sense, really, that how can you have a field full of cows? Each human has, say, half a cow every 2 months. Well, in 1 year, there's going to be no cows left.
I mean...
So therefore, don't eat all those cows, or don't...
Exactly.
Find another thing to eat.
Cow eating is the biggest problem. So if humans just lived more sustainably, we wouldn't have to wipe out all those people. If people went vegan and stopped producing all these cows that fart methane into the air, which affect the global warming, that would be a good start. And if they made it law that we only use recyclable packaging, that would help. But no, they don't actually give a fuck.
How about all the methane humans are farting out, like all their kebabs and pizzas and McDonald's and KFC and microwave meals?
Shut them down.
How much shit we plunge down that toilet goes into the sewer? Walk past the sewer, that smell, it can smell for miles. There's just as much methane there, right, compared to cows. There's more humans than cows, right?
All right, okay, we're getting onto really deep territory. Okay,
but cows are big, so actually
if
you counteract
the two. Propose that that genocide is committed to benefit the planet, how do you then determine who's worthy of living and who should die?
Again, it's like dog eat dog. You just fight, and if you're strong, then the bigger animal often wins. In this case, if you're mentally strong, you could be smart and sort of climb a tree, have a rock in your hand, wait for them to come in and throw it down. That's a brain power as opposed to physical power. Like a dumb cow has just got its weight. A smart human could be tiny, but if they've got the brains to throw a stone down, then they win. So it'll just come down to who's the smartest person, like ancient kings on horses, spearing each other, killing people. It's happened for years.
I mean, I've never been anti-government until this whole thing's gone down, because they really do keep society in order. Like, without them, we would be in anarchy, and life would be like that. We'd always have to sleep with one eye open, and I'd say that's no way to live. That's how animals live. But
no, I agree. In order to have a civilization, we need some kind of a leader. Government is a leader, even if it's made up of, say, hundreds of ministers, right? But if we didn't have a government, then there would be... none of this would exist. There'd be no roads, there'd be no ponds, there'd be no trees. It'd just be fucking jungle everywhere, right? So, to live in a civilization, we need leadership. However, like anything, you've got too much of something.
Power.
You lose control over it.
Yeah.
So now there's too many people versus too many leaders, and it's becoming unstable. So people who don't like government, okay, so now they stop funding police, they now have control over what they want. It's like, did you forget that when you buy a car, you've got to drive down that road? Now there's loads of potholes because government isn't fixing them. So now what do you do? Oh, fuck, didn't think about that. So you need government, you need stability, you need a leader. It's like you need a parent to tell you what's wrong or right. Otherwise, you'll just go out, follow what everyone else is doing, and have no idea that robbing that person's house or kicking that...
It sounds weak-minded to me.
Yeah, exactly. And weak-minded simply means but lack of energy, lack of intelligence.
Most people are, to be fair.
That is correct. And it's not a bad thing. It's just the way it is. There's only a few, say, trees in this world, like 2,000 years old. There is millions of trees 5 years old. Millions of people are weak-minded, weak energy. They're weak energy, they're weak-minded. They're strong energy, they're strong-minded. If you have an iPhone that has a battery, if you have a plug socket that gives out 15 volts compared to a plug socket that gives out 100 volts, you're going to get more energy going out of a 100 volt one. They're both plugs, both humans. One just gives out more power.
Yeah.
That's it. Is it unfortunate? Over generations, if humans learn from their mistakes of their ancestors, they will raise their energy and become strong-minded people. If weak people keep making mistakes, keep following all their cousins and their uncles and their neighbours all drinking and dying and shagging and getting cancer and getting heart disease, having shitty food every week, and they all do the same shit, they're all going to die at 40 of cancer. It's just the same cycle. You're supposed to learn from Uncle John when he's drinking whiskey every night and he fucking has a heart attack at Christmas, having five sausages on... Howdy, thanks for listening to my episode. If you could remember to just rate and review the episode after you've listened, that'd be fantastic. And also subscribe so when I release a new one, you get a notification. And also, please tell your friends on socials about my podcast. Now I'm going for a poo. I'll be back later. Have a great day and speak to you soon.